So this week, we are celebrating what is called Holy Humor Sunday. Now, some of you might not know what this is, and others of you maybe have been a part of churches that have celebrated this before, but Holy Humor Sunday is the Sunday directly following Easter. Now, it can either be Holy Humor Sunday or it's traditionally called Low Sunday, largely because after the large worship attendance of Easter, the Sunday after is usually followed by a lower attendance. Traditionally, in this church, we would have had an informal breakfast service this Sunday, where we would have had an informal worship experience, and we would have shared food around tables together. But I thought that since we can't do a low Sunday worship service as we normally would, we would celebrate the Sunday after Easter a different way. A way that some other churches always celebrate the Sunday after Easter, and that is by recognizing it as what's called Holy Humor Sunday. Now, I tried to do a little bit of research to figure out why exactly it's called Holy Humor Sunday and why we celebrate it on the Sunday after Easter. And I even asked some colleagues about this, and I really couldn't find a definitive answer. A lot of people said that since worship attendance is low in the week after Easter, and since Easter was such a weighty week with so many important and dignified worship experiences, that it's good to laugh a little bit in the week after. It's good to let off steam the week after Easter. Other people said that since worship attendance is low, that this is a sort of enticement for those people that might not otherwise come to church the Sunday after Easter, trying to encourage people to come for an experience that they wouldn't normally get any other Sunday of the year. But regardless, whatever form it takes or whatever its origin happens to be, I think that where we are right now, Holy Humor Sunday is much needed. And this can be celebrated in a variety of different ways. In some churches, they will have various humorous elements to the worship service. They will explore humor in scripture, which there is a lot of it. Or the sermon will be a little bit in jest, talking about biblical humor. But I thought that in this particular circumstance, that I would make the worship packet reflect Holy Humor Sunday. And so what you will see, if you would go back to the very beginning of the PDF, I'm going to walk you through it just like I did last week. So I'll give you a minute now to go back to the very first page of the PDF. And what you will see are a variety of memes. Now, what memes are, some of you might know what that is and others of you might not, but a meme is essentially a visual joke. A meme is a visual joke that is shared through the internet. So people will post these on their Facebook profiles. People will email these to their friends. It is a pithy little joke that speaks some sort of truth to our present reality. And therein is where the humor lies, in the fact that a meme is a very concise way to visually communicate humor in a way that speaks truth to what is currently going on. And there have been many different memes that have been circulating the internet that have to do with our present reality, our life in isolation and our lives in quarantine, but also retooling famous works of art to reflect this newfound phenomenon of social and physical distancing. So our first image, as you will see, is Vermeer's A Girl with a Pearl Earring. However, as you will notice, she has a Purell earring, girl with Purell earring. Now, this is so true because I was looking for hand sanitizer the other day and I could not find any. And of all of the box that my mom sent me from Montana full of toilet paper and Clorox wipes, alcohol gel was the one thing that was not there because she herself couldn't find it either. And Not that alcohol gel is the most important thing for me, because I do believe that washing our hands is the most effective means of mitigating infection. But for me, I like alcohol gel in the car as sort of a bridge to be able to go from being in public to then going home. And before I can get to that point, alcohol gel is sort of a nice in-between step of making sure that my hands are clean. And it makes me feel better, I think. And I think a lot of us using hand sanitizer just partially makes us feel better. But I'm in the same boat as everyone else as far as wanting hand sanitizer, because there was none to be found. And so I looked on eBay because I was curious about how other people might be capitalizing on this newfound desire for hand sanitizer. And much to my amazement, there were bottles of hand sanitizer on eBay that had 6 days left before the auction ended, that had already had 18 bids, and a 6-ounce bottle was up to $29 with a $13 shipping price tag attached to that. And I checked on one that had only a couple hours left, and we were looking at on the upwards of $50 for a 6-ounce bottle of Purell that I imagine has a retail value of somewhere between $2 and $3. It just goes to show you that in our system of economics, that human needs necessitate this supply and demand chain, and who would have ever guessed that Purell would become something of a treasure, both intrinsically and practically. And so this image really speaks truth to the fact that in our present reality, one would find more use in hand sanitizer than they would in actual pearls, so to speak. And then if you progress further, the next image is Grant Wood's American Gothic, but reflecting the fact that we are in a stay-at-home order, and so the pitchfork has remained outside, and the two homesteaders, which actually I read some information about this painting that suggests that they are brother and sister, are inside their house. If you go further on, you have an iconic image of a painting by Georges Seurat, and this is housed in the Art Institute of Chicago. Georges Seurat was a French painter who was very interested in bridging Impressionism with science, and he used pointillism, which is a technique of painting with small, almost pixelated dots in the way that maybe an inkjet printer would print. And so this painting is an image of small colored dots that have created this image. And it was re-justified to represent sort of what we are called to do, to be responsible. And as you see, there is the one solitary woman standing there who is on her socially distanced daily exercise regime that she is allowed to do. And she is being responsible, and there are not a full group of people before her. A lot like what our beaches look like now, completely empty, completely devoid of all of the people that one might find there on a typical Sunday afternoon. The next image is going to be humorous if you know about what a Zoom call is. So this is The Last Supper, of course, Leonardo da Vinci's famous painting. But this is what The Last Supper would look like on a Zoom call. Now, for those of you who don't know Zoom, but most of you probably do, Zoom is a video conferencing system that allows people to have meetings while not leaving their homes. So you enter a meeting and everyone's image is in a little box around the screen, and you can speak to all of everyone at the same time, and you can run a church meeting or you can run a business meeting without anyone actually being together. And a lot of businesses and a lot of churches and a lot of organizations are going towards doing all of their meetings on Zoom as a way of continuing to do business during these times. In fact, most colleges and universities, and in some cases, even high schools, are doing their educating on Zoom. So students can be at home and they can log in and they can see their other classmates and their professor, but they do not need to be in the same physical space. And I think what this speaks to is the fact that on Maundy Thursday, which is the day when we would have been reenacting the Last Supper, really we couldn't be together, that we couldn't do this in the way that it was originally done. And it's sort of humorous to see what do these dramatic moments in the history of our faith look like when we have to see them through the lens of what we are doing in our modern era to help be responsible and to mitigate these rates of infection. And I think what we're seeing is that technology and Zoom and all of these things are really helpful tools to be able to continue our work and our education in this time. But at the same time, so much of our culture and so much of our traditions are based on actually being able to be physically close to other people. And so much of our world is built in this critical way of being together. And so for me, I've been reflecting a lot on what togetherness actually means and how important it is and what a gift it is. It's something that I don't think we really realized how critical being together was and being in a community was before this happened. And I think we are beginning to realize that physical presence among each other is not something to be taken for granted. If you move on to the next image, of course, you have the iconic image of the Sistine Chapel, but spaced out, hopefully, I think about 6 feet. That one speaks for itself. And then the next image is something that Nina sent me that I actually hadn't seen before. And this is really sort of humorous for those of us who plan worship and who select hymns. Because, as I said before, I didn't realize how much of the hymns in our faith, but also the Bible stories in our faith, are so rooted in physical closeness. Breathe on me, breath of God. Precious Lord, take my hand. Just a closer walk with thee. Gather us in. These are classic hymns that are at the core of our tradition, and they are all about coming together. They're about touch. They're about physical closeness. But at the same time, it points out that there are some hymns that work for us in our present time. Jesus walked in this lonesome valley. I come to the garden alone. Trust and obey. Of course, this is cute and humorous, but also true is that while we are realizing how important physical closeness is to our faith, we are having to dig deep and to find a whole other side to the way that we understand what it means to be in community and what it means to be in a Christian faith walk, and that what we are doing in being a part is holy and is good and is so that we can be a healthy and strong community later on down the road. And then if you progress 2 more pages onward, I just included an image of 3 different corporate logos that have been remodified to represent social distancing. You have McDonald's, you have the Audi rings, and you have Coca-Cola. Again, a visual reminder for us of how these brands and these images are so much predicated on unity, on a cohesive whole, on a narrative of us being united and coming together. And I think what the world is trying to do is to communicate this idea that by being separated during these times, we are in fact respecting that idea of being united, because it will allow us to do that in the future that much quicker and that much healthier. So the scripture that I chose today, one of the key moments in it, is it's from Corinthians, but we are told, and Paul tells us, for the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. I think that's something that's important to keep in mind, and it's an important image for us of just how great God is, that God's foolishness is even wiser than anything that we can imagine. And sometimes there are things that we are asked to do that feel foolish or that feel like they don't quite make sense. But really, God's foolishness is rooted in something that is wiser than we know. It might seem foolish to us, but in reality, it isn't. And I think that as we take a look at all of these different images, these humorous memes, and these examples of famous paintings that have been retooled to represent social distancing, we see that they are speaking a truth to us. They are, some of them, tongue-in-cheek, but they are speaking a truth to us that this might seem foolish, that doing a Zoom call Last Supper or a Sunday day at the park with no one there, or a Sistine Chapel image that's spaced 6 feet apart, or girl with a Purell earring, all of those are speaking to this current truth that is somewhat absurd, that seems really surreal, that seems like something that we could never have predicted and that we don't really know where it's going. And it seems foolish to us, but really we are doing this because we know that it is wise and that it is good and that science is of God. And even if we don't understand it all, that we are respecting it, and in so doing, we are respecting God, and we are respecting all of the gifts that God has given us in the blessings of medical professionals and first responders and all of these essential workers who God created and who God called into these jobs, that we are respecting and worshiping that which we believe when we take heed of this advice. And when we do things that might seem a little foolish or strange, I haven't quite gotten the hang of wearing my mask in public. I still feel a little out of place wearing it. But I do it because it's what's asked of us, and it's important, and it's something that even if I don't understand, that we are being asked in order to be a united community, one that can come back together stronger and more healthier than ever before. May it be so. Amen.